This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
We're on.
By the slim, girlish figure.
I was rolling.
Thin, slim.
Nothing,
by the way. We like that type of pizza. We don't call it thin crust. We call it...
Gay crust?
Slim crust.
Slim crust. Slimming.
One day I would just love someone to say, Ralph, you look too thin. I would love that.
You're running like 28 miles
a day. I know. I really am trying.
Ralph. Now, wait. Let me ask you this. Before you jump in there, Goose... Are we running? Is this show going?
We're recording right now. Like we're
welcome to the Wild Goose Show. Now listen.
Hey.
what we're going to do is that the whole point of being a guest on the Wild Goose Show.
Yes.
Other route is we don't speak with you at all.
We have no questions for you. Or nothing.
And then we're going to give you a shirt that says, I was ignored.
Oh, I like it. By the way, nothing would make me happier.
Yeah. But then at the end, we'll say what you're pushing or what you're promoting.
Okay,
or
sure. I'll just sit here and listen to you.
Are you going to enter? Because we notice on your Instagram, you're running about 628 miles a day.
By the way, fact that you both know that because you follow me, you don't know how happy that makes me.
Well, we notice you're... Now, let me ask
you. You can tell Big J that now.
When are you going to run the New York and Boston Marathon? That's the question.
Yeah, so I'm going to never run a full marathon. I think I'm too old and too big for that, but I'm running halves. I'm running my first official half marathon in 2 weeks, and then I'm doing the New York City half in April.
So what, do you bring out another person to do the other half?
Exactly. You do 13 miles.
Wait, what, your brother? Your brother comes in.
Better yet, no. You drive, you run, you do the, what is it, 27 miles?
It's 26.2 or 13.1 for the half.
Okay. 26 miles, and then you run the 13. Me and JD pick you up and drive you to the finish line.
I'm for it. I would love it.
Walk out, and you take the new world record.
Exactly.
I would 100% love
but
that.
But we don't pad it up that much. I mean, usually, what is the world record? 2 hours and 14 minutes?
It's something ridiculous. Yeah.
All right, well, 2 hours, 14 minutes, you beat it at 2 hours and...
13
minutes and 8 seconds.
And just got to throw water all over him like, woo!
Yeah, we'll just wow. And we'll stop off for a couple pies on the way.
By the way,
it's
the
2 hours, 5 minutes.
It's 2 hours and 5 minutes. The guy, it's basically running a 4 minute mile for 26.2 miles, which is insane. It's my new goal. I'm 52. I just turned 52 on New Year's Eve. Was my birthday, right?
Yeah, that's right. You and your brother.
Yeah, we are.
Well, your brother's the year before.
I'm the year before. I'm 31. I'm December 31st. He's the first, right? 4 minutes apart.
But wow.
It's crazy. Yeah, in different decades. I was born in 69. He was born in 70.
That's crazy. Right?
But my goal,
argue over what decade was better.
Right. Well, I could say all the 60s were better. I was there for the Beatles, the landing on the moon.
Exactly.
I got all that shit.
Yeah.
He's in the 70s. I was in the 70s with him, too.
Yeah. And you were there for when the Mets and the Jets won their last
That's
World
right.
I was there for all that.
Well, not the Mets, but the Jets, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, well, still, what was the last Mets moment? What was
86.
86?
I was like...
You were there.
I was there.
I think there was far more monumental things in the 60s than the 70s as far as like nationally important things.
Well, the moon landing was
moon landing's a big one.
Yeah,
big.
But the Bay City Rollers was the 70s.
That's true. But I was there for the 70s too.
Don't ever take that away from me.
So I'm going to do a half marathon every couple of months in a different state or country. That's my plan, which is pretty wild. Considering when I started at 50, I couldn't run 30 seconds, and now I could run...
So you run half, and then what? You just walk back?
No, they have halves everywhere. They have halves.
You
are
just
a thing.
Walk back, is it?
You call it a day. Like, I'm done.
I don't get it. What do you think?
You run half, you turn around, I'm done. You just walk back home.
Well, that's what I usually do when I'm making love to Barbara Ann.
You go halfway?
No, I go all the way, but I mean, it's probably about 8 seconds. I don't go the full minute. I go like 8 seconds.
You're up to 8 seconds now.
I always remind her, though, that was the greatest 8 seconds you ever going to have but in your life, woman.
In Zach's defense, that 8 seconds also includes an apology and a cleanup.
Yes, that as well. And I always make sure it's a warm towel.
Sorry, no, yeah, good
cold, boy. You know, because it's cold. And, you know,
it's shocking.
Shocking. You know, well, you don't want to shock.
I'm the shock master.
You don't want to be the shock master. You want to be the comfort master.
So you guys now are on this network that I've started, wow. Right? This
yes, is guest. Goose, I said this is awesome, and Goose said, unfortunately for him, yes, it's true as well.
Yeah,
it's pretty wild. It took, I'm going to say, with your wife and I talking, a year?
6 years?
About a year. Right? Is that about right?
Yeah.
That's yeah, well, right. You know, I mean, that's, you know, just because we're the kings of procrastination. So, you know, we'll get around to that. You know what
we'll
I mean?
We'll do it. We got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we'll get it.
Well, here we are.
Oh, congratulations. This is the second video one, I think, or first or second video
oh,
one.
Oh, the second video.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Wow. I appreciate it. And what is it, what's the gap between that? A couple months?
That's fine.
What I'm saying.
By the way, just so you know, I'm a bevy of podcast useless knowledge, or take it however you want. Like, for most of this network, 96% of it is audio. You know, it's 4% that watch. That may change over the course of the next few years.
Well, people see us, they just start throwing up.
Because Wild Goose, you know, people were asking, they go, well, what are you and Jay, what's your show about? I said, it's useless information. And we also, the show contains zero nutritional value.
Oh, there we go. Well, then I just hit the nail on the head with that. So
exactly. Perfect.
Great to be a part of it.
Yes.
Thanks.
So you're picking a pizza place for his birthday. Yep. Are you a big pizza man, Zachy?
Without a doubt. I mean, who isn't?
I think that now that I tried not to have it because I'm trying to lose weight, so I stay away from it.
Gotta stop that.
Yeah, well, you know.
What are you losing weight for?
I need to be about 20 pounds lighter.
Why? That's we love you the way you are. More of you. We love you.
You go, that's why you eat the thin crust, so you stay thin.
No, slim crust.
Slim crust.
You're kidding yourself.
You eat the slim crust, so that's you stay slim.
It's slimming.
See what I'm saying?
But also, as rock and roll dudes, as rock stars, your job is to stay thin. That's like the number one job of a rock star, is stay in shape.
And drugs.
No. And drugs. Well,
used
to be.
That's why we're huge fans of Richard Simmons. He's not only an inspiration, he's a life coach.
He is? Is he still alive? I didn't even know he was still alive.
What do you mean? He's a powerlifting guru as well.
We just talked to him. He's fine.
Is he fine?
No, he's fine.
Yeah. Wasn't there a podcast about finding Richard Simmons? Like, he disappeared for a while.
I don't know. You would know that.
I would know
his influence will never disappear.
That's fair enough. Him and Jack LaLanne are the two mains.
How about Jack LaLanne? He was amazing, man.
What was it? His 90th birthday, swimming with 90 boats on his back across the Hudson.
Amazing.
It's so funny because we're so old. His influence not only has lasted, but people don't know who he is anymore.
No,
I watched the TikTok video where a guy's looking at him up. He goes, who is this guy, Jack LaLanne?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I was like, my God.
He made it to 100 years old.
Yeah, he did.
That was amazing.
It's pretty wild. Yeah. Really? And it is inspiring. It's funny that it takes, unfortunately, I just came from doing my health and wellness show, so I'm a little more metaphysical right now, unfortunately. But it takes, unfortunately, tragedy or something bad to happen before you really try to start focusing on making your life better. I wish that wasn't true, but for most of us, it is. So for me, when I got really, really fat, and I got, one day I did a very popular radio show on Sirius XM, and I got about 1,000, you fat fuck. Emails, you look like Beige Shrek, you like all these fucking horrible.
All from Zach.
That's just very unnice. Yeah.
He was very unnice. Like, that
was
what I remember. He was giggling.
Yeah. And he's like calling JD. JD, I got another one. We're going to call him Frankenfat. Like, oh man, come on.
Oh man.
Fatty Warbuckles.
There was
another one.
There was a time years ago, Zach. We're going back like 10, 12 years ago where I used to just send you pictures of like porn shots. Do you remember me doing that to you?
Yeah, I still use them to this day.
I used to send them like inappropriate porn pictures for no reason.
You know what? Barb's always stealing them from me. That's right, woman. Sitting there over there shaking her head.
But, you know, so that was my catalyst. And now I've lost 70 pounds at this point, you know. And I need to lose 20 more to be back to where I was before I got fat.
Robbie, I'd like to lose 200 pounds.
How tall are you, Zachy?
How tall am I?
Yeah.
I tell Barb I'm 7'2", because it's all proportion.
It's all proportion. Yeah. Were you like 6 feet? Is that about right?
But no, 6 feet tall.
You're 6 feet. Okay.
Because I have 2 feet.
JD has 2 feet.
Because it is easier to hide your fat when you're my height. People don't see it as much, you know. Because
what'd you do? You just cut out the sugar, man.
Yeah, and I ran. I run like 30 miles a week. you know, and I just watch what I'm eating. I
Sugar's
a big one. Yeah, it sucks. It just
sugar's everything, man.
Yeah, it's a big one. And carbs. Sugar and carbs are the two worst ones. But carbs, as in, you know, breads and pastas.
Yeah, starchy carbs.
Yeah, starchy carbs are shitty.
I mean, just tell any of your friends if they're like they want to lose weight. I go don't drink soda. Don't drink this. Don't drink. I mean, I'm just saying, all I drink is I remember at one point I was 223. It's bulking, you know, just eating normal. I always eat clean anyways, but I'm lifting and everything like that. Just literally cut out sugar, cut out every, you know, starchy carbs, everything like that. No cardio, just lifting heavy.
Mm-hmm.
But got down to like 192.
Oh, wow. But no cardio.
No cardio.
Because to me, the only reason why I like cardio is because it's quiet time, you know, where no one's bothering.
Yeah, just to get away from it. But that's the same thing with lifting, though.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
if you're lifting by yourself and you don't have JD yelling at you.
And you like flash dance, right?
Yeah, I do. I do enact these scenes, the dance
moves. I
definitely
dig flash dance, too. You know, I like the thing where me and JD do it all the time on stage, you know, where we just douse each other with water and stuff.
The leg warmers and shit.
I do in the barnyard scene in Footloose, I do that by myself very often.
That's not bad either.
That helps me really unwind that scene.
JD enjoys doing the floating off the bed from The Exorcist. And we also enjoy doing the getting eaten by a shark Quint scene.
Definitely.
We like to recreate that one as well.
All the time.
That's right. We just had on SDR the guy that created Reno 911. You know,
which one of my great show.
Robert Garrett is the main guy, the guy who plays Junior. Him and the guy in the short shorts created that series, right?
Oh, my God.
And he's a screenwriter, which I didn't know this, like an unbelievable screenwriter. He wrote he writes movies to be sold. He's not looking to create art.
Right.
So he wrote All Night at the Museums. He wrote Baywatch. He wrote like 50 movies that all just sell. Yeah. He's sold over $1 billion worth of tickets.
True documentary.
he just Baywatch, doesn't, but he breaks it down every movie that's been a big movie for the most part follows a methodology of a 100-page script. By page 10, this happens. By page 50, this happens. Wow. And he's sort of breaking down Jaws, The Matrix, The Exorcist, and every one of them follows that fucking pattern. So he said, just learn that pattern, then write your fucking story. It was really wild to hear that story.
Wow.
It makes you think. You don't have to do that. I don't know if it's with music. Do you guys follow a pattern or no?
Well, no. You know, so talking about a pattern, I was just looking on my phone. Went Zeppelin Records.
I thought you were looking at your phone of the old porn I was sending you. But
that Barb stole all of it. But anyway, so
it's gone, Ralph.
No, but the thing is this: it's like first album's like 43 minutes, second album 45 minutes, three was like 42 minutes.
Yeah.
43 minutes. Like each record was like literally almost 43 minutes long.
But was it because back then it was only 8 tracks?
But like one of them it wasn't even like one was 57.
No, I dig it.
One was 43. One was 49. And almost 43 minutes are the only differentiated 45 minutes and 43 minutes. Yeah. Like that close.
Well, I hear you.
What about these early Sabbath records? You know, I'm curious.
I could look on my phone. I would imagine it's probably, but then probably even Barb said vinyl back then,
it could only
hold
so
60 minutes or 58 minutes or something like that. So,
totally.
But that still gives them a 12-minute wiggle room.
Barb just yelled at me. She said 47.
Oh. First Black Sabbath album was 38 minutes and 12
Barb
seconds.
Barb just gave me a sign. She went like this, and I just gave her this sign.
And then she gave him this sign.
That's just terrible. And she calling me home. She's doing it right now.
I know. She's very unnice to them.
When you guys come to New York like this, you've been here almost a week. There's certain haunts or certain things that you feel like, oh, I'm in New York, I got to go A, B, and C.
Yeah, JD likes going down to like all the...
The whorehouses? I get it.
All the old ones. Yeah. I don't live far, so I have a membership.
Right. You know, JD knows certain streets. Herpes, gonorrhea, and syphilis.
Any street you need.
Yeah, you have a punch card for all of them, right?
Yes.
Yes.
No, but you grew up here. You don't live here anymore.
No, I grew up in Jersey, but we never came up to the city.
Nah, not that
much. Really.
Nah, not when we were kids. No.
My cousins, my aunt Maureen and my aunt Louie, they lived up in and my cousins Christopher and Timmy.
City?
They were the ones that turned me on to the Stones and everything like that. But they lived in Jersey City.
Yeah. So that wasn't far from the city.
So, you know, I'd always hear sirens and cop cars and everything. So
gunshots.
Like, we must be getting close to New York.
For me, it was a journey like to go to the Birch Hill or go out to Jersey.
That was my backyard.
Yeah, it was a journey. We had a, you know, me, yeah, I would
why
rather
would you go
to,
there when you got L'Amour, capital of Brooklyn?
Ah, but Birch Hill was awesome.
Birch Hill was more of an experience because there was the outside area.
I missed the Birch Hill. I missed all that experience. I never played there with Cyrus.
No, we did Close Encounters. But we actually played there.
I know, but that was like years later, though.
Yeah.
They were in glory. But you were there when
I was there. I sat in with Edgar Casey every Friday.
Edgar
night.
Casey
no, but
played.
You
my...
said it was packed.
It was packed. It was unbelievable. It was insane. We were kids.
Yeah. No, you wouldn't need a national act coming through.
No, Edgar Casey would pack the bus.
No, but there would be 1,200 people.
It was
800 people.
It was 1,000 people every Friday night.
And there was a deck outside. You could get like a hot dog out on the deck outside. It was really because
all the swimming pools.
Yeah, it was really unique.
It was a great. Hang.
And Art was awesome. He'd come out every now and again, all bombed up, open the bar. You guys got 10 minutes, open bar. He's like, yeah! Art was awesome.
That was a unique spot, Birch Hill. It really
was killer, man.
Yeah, L'Amour.
But like we said, me and JD talked about this before. Like, everything pretty much has a high school 4-year lifespan, and then things start evolving and changing. Mm-hmm. Like you guys are just talking, I completely missed that Birch Hill experience.
Right, because
I was playing with the boss at that time. So, but the thing is this, it's like, but when did the Birch Hill change where you said, like, you had the deck out there, you had hot dogs, the pool, 1,000 people on a Friday night?
It had a good run.
Once it Rock changed, did. You know, that closed off. Because I was running rock clubs here in New York and in Jersey as well. And I had Edgar Casey would play my club. I ran L'Amour's for a bit in Brooklyn, right? And I ran a club called Christopher's in Brooklyn. And in the early 90s, when
Grunge
came on, it changed the club experience. We could not run rock clubs anymore. And it was sad to see that happen. 92 was the last good year for rock clubs. It fucked up everything. And I worked the Limelight. I was the DJ and promoter of the Limelight every Sunday.
Played there too.
And that was an incredible, I mean, we had, we'll give you, it was like in 1990, I think 91, the year that LA Guns put out Ballad of Jane on that second record, right? 4,000 people in the Limelight to see fucking LA Guns, which is crazy. You could not move in the place.
I know.
And those environments, that was a time when Pearl Jam could play, Tool could play, and LA Guns could play, and they would all fill the room. You know, that was an amazing time. It didn't matter, these guys are a hair band or these guys are a rock band. It didn't matter. Yeah. Rock was rock and you could fill the room. It was incredible. 91, 92, that started to change. That's what changed everything. Nirvana and that shit. Wow. There was a 1-year period where you could play it all. You could play Nirvana and Guns N' Roses together. Nobody cared. That year, by the end of 92.
It's like amazing, like with Studio 54. You figure probably, 76 to 80?
Yeah.
And then I'm just saying, it's like, well, then what happened after that? Yeah. I mean, I understand with the everything that went down with Studio 54.
Yeah. You know, I got to go to Studio 54 when I was 9 years old.
Wow.
My dad went to a party there and he couldn't find a babysitter or something like that. I was 9 and me and my brother got to go into Studio 54 in its heyday. We didn't know what the fuck was going on. There was tons of lights, everything. But I could say I was there in the heyday of Studio 54.
But it's crazy that you would figure no one capitalized on the whole dance thing and the club experience of that Studio 54 thing. I guess like Birch Hill, like after 92, it's just like, well, what do we do now?
Yeah, there's no, also the drinking age changing in 1986 from 18 to 21, that hurt a lot because then there was that 10-year period, you both should remember this, where you could be 18 to get in and 21 to drink. That doesn't exist anymore. So all those college-going kids, they have to get fake IDs or sneak in or whatever. But when you had those 4 years of kids, 18, 19, 20, you know, 3 years, could get into these clubs, there's just that many more people going out.
Totally. You know what must have happened, though? You know, like you do an experiment like that. You're like, oh, let's just do this. You know, 18 is the drinking age.
Ah, forget it.
The amount of probably fatalities, car accidents, this and that, where I go,
definitely,
we got to boost it back up to 21. This ain't working.
No, right in front of Fountain Casino at the time, a good friend of ours died. He was 18. The other girl was 18 that hit him. Drunk driving killed him.
Yeah, one of my high school friends died from a drunk driver. Yeah,
at 18 years old. Yeah. It was insane. You know what I mean?
But I'm saying, I understand the financial gain we're going to make from this.
Oh, my God.
I will lower it down to 18. That's why you have all these 18 and 19 and 20-year-olds. You have that three age of people coming out.
And then all are so excited to drink because they're first drinking.
Yeah, and they're going to get bombed.
Yeah.
But what I'm just saying is we notice the fatality rate, the accidents going on. I go, this was a bad idea.
Yeah, let's go to 21.
Yeah.
You know, how many accidents were at 21? There was only 50. How many, now that we lowered it down to 18? 2,000. Yeah. You know, all right, well,
then. Is Canada still 18?
Yes, I think it is.
They just don't care.
All of Europe is 18.
Well, it's a lot colder up there.
Yeah, they don't care.
Yeah, all of Europe, I think, is 18 too, which is crazy. It's wild.
Well, the best was this. I remember when we were over in Japan, when I first went over there with the boss, Asahi and Kirin and Sapporo, like the machines out in the streets.
Oh, right? Really?
Where you could buy, buying soda, Coca-Cola, Dr. Pepper, a 7-Up, whatever you want. But it was beer. And I'm going, this would never fly
in America.
That's crazy.
Like when we were in high school, we'd never forget about the soda. Yeah. It's just like, dude, I'm getting a beer. Budweiser, man. I mean, you know.
Part of the excitement, though, in high school was sneaking around and getting beer. That was like a really exciting thing when you had to do it illegally. It doesn't exist anymore.
I remember that in kindergarten.
Yeah. Totally. I hung out with some hairy people, so they got it pretty easy.
That's funny. Yeah. I remember a friend of mine sneaking beer and vodka into my house when I was like 14 or 13. We were so excited. My mom was away. You know, that kind of shit. I guess it still happens. It's gotta still happen.
We used to raid the liquor cabinet, you know.
My mom wasn't a drinker.
The best is this. You'd grab the vodka from your dad.
And pour it back in the water.
Yeah, it never worked.
And you know your dad would hit it and go, you scumbag. I know what's going on.
Exactly.
I know what's going on here.
This is either the worst vodka on the planet or you put fucking water in this.
You little bastards. Put water in my vodka.
Yeah, that ain't Smirnoff.
I was waiting for you guys to ignore me the whole time. We're almost done with this thing.
We tried. You just wouldn't let us.
Too powering of a voice.
Exactly.
I still love, by the way, one of my favorite moments of all time is Zach pretending to be
your friend.
Yeah, no, but
a good guitar player.
The bass player of Poison, Bobby Dahl.
I'm still doing that.
You pretend to be Bobby Dahl on my podcast to freak out Big J.
Yeah, without a doubt. Whatever I got to do. I do that all the time with Barb.
Yeah.
While we're making love. You know, she's just like, oh, Chris, Rick, Brian. I go, Barb, it's Zach. She just goes, whatever, keep going. I go, okay.
Yeah, out of the house.
Whatever, just get it over with.
Just going out.
Whatever. Go get me some chocolates. Leave.
She wishes he would run 28 miles that way.
Keep going in the same direction.
That way.
It's not easy. I tell you, I'm at 50 to start running is not easy. It was not fun. I hurt myself a lot, but what are you going to do? I didn't want to be fat anymore.
Stretch it out, Ralph.
My brother stays
stretching every day.
You burn a lot of calories watching porn and those pictures you send me.
Yeah, that's good stretching right there.
That is stretching.
It's a different stretch. It's in one specific area.
Well, one arm's bigger than the other.
It's burning calories.
So meanwhile, guys, also, I'm going to promote the network a little bit here because I'm on with you guys.
Okay.
You guys helped trigger or officially solidify the rock side of Gas Digital because we have Rob Flynn, Machine Head.
Father Rob.
Jamie Josta.
Father Jamie.
Right? Jamie, yeah.
We have you guys.
Okay.
We have us, right? So now we kind of have like a real rock wing of Gas Digital happening. SDR show, you know, my show.
Yeah.
So now that's one element of Gas Digital. We have comedy covered.
Yeah,
we have MMA covered. You know, so now we have
the rock
covered.
As Goose would say, that's very unfortunate. Let's carry on.
Let me ask this, which we probably addressed. How did Goose come about?
The mongoose.
Ah, Ricky Ticky Tavi.
Well, because have you ever seen a mongoose attack?
No, I've seen Ricky Ticky Tavi.
He could kill a cobra.
Yeah.
Fast, small.
He could kill a cobra. It just, that's the goose.
Oh, that's you. So how long have you had the moniker?
Oh, my God. Well, shit.
Yeah, forever.
Forever. Zach's been calling me that forever.
Okay.
Maybe 80 years now.
Yeah, probably about 82.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah, you always call me that.
All right, I like
that. When me and JD, when we first went and saw the 1927 Yankees.
Good year.
It was. It probably was, as they say, me and Goose still have to say it, probably a lot of people argue, the greatest year of the Yankees, Yankee team, That's what a lot of people
27.
Say.
That,
the 27 Yankees. But I remember when we were in the stands talking about it. JD
went. Yeah, there was nobody there because you were talking about it in 1993.
JD yeah. went and got some popcorn and got some hot dogs and came back. And I go, man, that was fast. I go, you're like a mongoose or something over there. And ever since then, it's just stuck.
Wow. That's it.
That's been fair there. Enough. I like it.
Well, he gave Zach the name shitbag, but it didn't last.
It didn't stick as well?
Well, it did stick.
Too many people called him that. It lost its inside job. Yeah.
Well, look at me. See, with this black shirt, I look like a hefty bag. And he just says, you look like, and you sound like a pile of shit. A shit bag.
So we put them together.
I get it. It makes sense. It
also, the wild goose sounds better.
Yeah, and because piece of shit, when everyone's calling him that, it loses its insideness. It loses its cool.
Side of Barb. You know, she calls me, oh, Chris, Rick, Brian, Barb, it's me. Oh, yeah. Just leave. Is Leave a name? I don't
know. Levi.
Yeah, you change your name to Levi.
What is my name? You want to call me Levi? No. Just leave.
Leave Erickson?
Hey, first finish.
Leave Garrett?
Then leave.
Leave Garrett? Yeah. No. Leave.
Leave. Just leave. Okay.
All right.
All right, then.
You have any other questions for me?
No, I guess we should be leaving on that
All
note.
Right, we'll leave on that note. All right.
We should be leaving.
I'm going to plug myself.
Oh, my God, again? You've been plugging yourself all day.
That's how I got
this
here.
This mic smells terrible,
I
got to say.
Such a happy smile on
well,
my
maybe
face.
That's why you gained all that weight.
Plug it up. He needs the Roto-Rooter.
He's been plugged up.
He needs the Roto-Rooter.
Yes, after you eat the colon clog,
yeah.
You need the Roto-Rooter.
By the way, I just was talking about this on my show. I was taking fiber pills because it's supposed to help you shit more and make you feel better, so right. I started taking them. And it turns out I was taking fiber pills for gay men. It was specifically made for gay men. It was their slogan was stay ready.
Oh my.
And sexuality comes from the inside out.
Oh boy.
And it had a laxative in it so that you would, because I couldn't believe how much I was shitting. And it's because I was taking made for gay men to shit themselves so much they could be ready for anal sex.
Well, oh my God. You don't want to make a mess.
I didn't know. I was like, why am I shitting? So it's true. It's very true.
Wow.
Then everyone will start calling you shitbag.
Shitbag.
Exactly.
Has a whole different meaning for me.
He doesn't want anything to do with that.
So don't take the stay ready for men fiber pills, is what I'm saying. Oh, I'm getting rid of the laxative part. Anyway, follow me at I Am Ralph Sutton at my podcast, The SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show,
which you guys have done. We figured this show was about, was complete useless information and void of any nutritional value.
Yeah.
Now we just learned something.
You learned a couple things. You're welcome. You're welcome. That's what I'm here for.
Thank you very much, Father.
We got another podcast too, Ralph.
Oh yeah. Also, sorry. God damn it. Well, I said it at the top of the show though, but my health and wellness podcast that Brian is a producer of is called The Good Sugar Podcast, which I do with the founder of Juice Press, which they have 90 locations here in New York. And every Monday we try and make me a better person.
They
it's
got
not
a,
working.
They got a tall order.
I don't know how that's possible.
Tall order.
All right, thank you so much for having me, guys.
Hey, thanks for coming down, Ralph.
Thanks for coming, Ralphie.